This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Changes for gun laws. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, June 24th, glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
The Senate has passed a bipartisan package of gun control measures designed to limit mass shootings. It now goes to the House.
You no longer have to prove you have a need to carry a concealed handgun in New York. The Supreme Court struck down the law.
At the NBA draft, Orlando made Paolo Banchero of Duke the top overall pick. The first three selections were all freshmen.
And how have drivers benefited when gasoline taxes are suspended at the state level?
In Connecticut, according to the researchers, the tax savings passed along to the drivers was about 71 to 87% of the cut went to them. That turned into a range between 18 cents per gallon and 22 cents per gallon, again, depending on the way you looked at it.
Andy Keshner at MarketWatch on states that have enacted gas tax holidays, as a similar approach is considered in Congress. Following a month of negotiations, the Senate has passed the most significant gun control legislation in decades. In a 65-33 vote last night, a coalition of more than a dozen Republicans joined Democrats to support a measure designed to deter mass shootings. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This time, the Democrats came our way and agreed to advance some common sense solutions without rolling back rights for law-abiding citizens. The result is a product I'm proud to support.
The legislation, which provides roughly $15 billion in funding, would help states put in place and enforce red flag laws to remove guns from people deemed dangerous, close the so-called boyfriend loophole related to dating partners, and expand background checks to include juvenile and mental health records for buyers under 21. The Democratic-led House is expected to take up the bill quickly, and President Biden has said he wants to sign it ASAP. The Supreme Court has struck down a concealed carry law in New York that has been in place for more than a century. The law required gun owners to prove they have a special need or proper cause to carry a concealed handgun in public for self-defense. New York courts had ruled that just wanting to protect oneself without demonstrating a proper cause wasn't enough to obtain a license, but the Supreme Court disagreed. Aidan Johnston is with Gun Owners of America.
People have a constitutional right to carry firearms in this country. It is your natural right to self-defense that our Constitution recognizes.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
This is a deeply disturbing day. I mean, it flies in the face of everything we've been trying to do here to protect citizens.
The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that the law violates the U.S. Constitution by preventing law-abiding citizens from exercising their Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms in public for self-defense. The case began back in 2014 when two men from upstate New York were denied concealed carry permits. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court decision in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin marks the widest expansion of gun rights since 2010. In-depth analysis from Andrew Lieb, constitutional attorney in New York with Lieb at Law. Andrew, first off, your reaction to the ruling.
I wasn't surprised whatsoever, and the reason is because in 2010, the Supreme Court issued a very similar decision, and that was with less conservative justices. Now they have even more, and what they did is expanded the prior decision of a right to have a gun for a private citizen in their house to say you can have it anywhere now.
Yeah, okay, so explain that a little bit, because one story I read said, the decision swept further than the rules for concealed weapons permits.
Much further, much, 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 much further. What the rules say now is that there's a shall issue rule when someone wants to have a handgun. Previously in New York, we had a law called the Sullivan Act from 1911 that said you could only have a gun if you had a particularized risk of safety. They flipped that on its head. They said now you can have a gun as the default rule unless you're in one of these places, only these places called sensitive places. And the court used examples like legislative assemblies or polling places or courthouses. And they said unless a state can show through historical context and through analogy that a place is like one of those three places, there are no constitutional restrictions on guns.
What about at schools?
It's a great question that left open. And Justice Thomas wrote this opinion on his birthday. I don't know if you know, it's Justice Thomas's birthday. And when he wrote this opinion, he said, listen, I'm not going to address specific places. What I'm going to do is tell you three places from history that were allowed, and states and courts are going to have to look through analogy to see if that's a place like one of these three places. I'd bet a place like schools they could restrict guns from. That being said, it gets much more attenuated when you start talking about the subway system or restaurants or bars. Who knows?
We're speaking with Andrew Lieb, constitutional lawyer. He's at Lieb at Law in New York, and we're talking about the Supreme Court ruling in favor of gun owners in New York. So what about similar laws in other states now? What happens?
I'm glad you brought that up, because when the Supreme Court rules, they don't just speak about New York. They speak about the country. And this was a Second Amendment decision. And what this decision did is it said there's 43 states that have what's called shall issue laws. But there's seven states, including New York, that's six more, that don't have it. And what this law said is all those states that don't have shall issue laws, when you want a gun, you get a gun, they're all going to be overturned. This is a precedent for everywhere. And another important aspect of this decision, where it goes further than the 2010 decision, is we used to think not only could we look to history to restrict guns, but we could say a state has a right to promote a public interest like safety. The Supreme Court said, oh, no. The Supreme Court said only history on these sensitive places is the basis for any state, New York or the other six, to restrict guns into the future.
Wow. So the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, a former cop, says that policing will be more difficult. At least that was his comments, kind of anticipating that this would be the ruling. Is he right?
Well, I'm not a police expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I've definitely been to a heated fight in New York City before. And knowing now that the guy you're fighting with may have a gun will probably create more violence moving forward. I like to say it like this, that everyone seems like they're under control and great until they get into a friction moment. And we don't consider what happens in a friction moment. So I will say it's going to be harder, it's going to be more problematic, but who cares, says the Supreme Court, because the Second Amendment, which has been around since 1791, that's the law of the land, and we can't worry about if it's going to be harder policing. What we have to worry about is government infringing on individual rights.
Yeah. How will this affect the gun legislation just passed by the Senate?
Who knows? Like, this is going to be a very interesting thing. I don't know if you saw certain senators, like Senator Paul, already commented that this could be problematic with respect to red flag laws, because he said things like you don't have due process before they take the gun. And these are going to be questions that are left unanswered. And Justice Thomas was very clear in his opinion that he's not going through the entire landscape. He's just setting forth a new rule. And the new rule moving forward, which I think that we have to look at when we're dealing with any of these things, is to justify a firearm regulation, a government must demonstrate the regulation is consistent with the nation's history, tradition of firearm regulation. So we have to look back to that year, 1791, and we have to analogize and say, could you do it? I don't know, but that's why I'm not on the Supreme Court like Justice Thomas.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Lieb, constitutional attorney in New York with Lieb at Law. If you missed anything, be sure to check out a podcast of today's show. It's available every day on the This Morning with Gordon Deal app, plus Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Another hearing in Washington by the committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol. Senior officials in President Trump's Justice Department testified yesterday about his efforts to enlist them in an effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election. That campaign included a plan by Mr. Trump to replace the Justice Department's acting attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, with Jeffrey Clark, a department official who promised to assist Mr. Trump's efforts to reverse his election loss. That's according to Mr. Rosen.
The president turned to me And he said, well, one thing we know is you, Rosen, you aren't going to do anything. You don't even agree with the claims of election fraud. And this other guy at least might do something.
Meanwhile, witnesses said at least five congressional Republican allies of Mr. Trump saw White House pardons after supporting his attempts to overturn the election defeat, including Matt Gaetz of Florida and Louie Gohmert of Texas. It's 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate last night passed the most sweeping gun bill in decades, designed to prevent gun violence, a major victory for advocates and a rare defeat for the NRA. The vote was 65 to 33 with all Democratic members and 15 Republicans, including Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, voting to send the bill to the House.
It will send money, not just to states that decide to implement so-called red flag laws, but to every state to fund crisis intervention programs of their own choosing.
The measure offers grants to states for red flag laws and crisis prevention programs. It enhances background checks for people aged 18 to 21 and seeks to close the boyfriend loophole by keeping guns away from non-spouse dating partners convicted of abuse with caveats to restore their access under certain circumstances. It also tightens penalties for gun trafficking.
Number two.
The Supreme Court has struck down New York State's system for issuing concealed weapons permits, ruling that the century-old law requiring that applicants demonstrate proper cause and good moral character violates the Second Amendment. The 6-3 decision marks the widest expansion of gun rights since 2010. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says she'll convene a special session of the legislature to redraft her state's rules.
This is not a new law. This has been the law in the state of New York since the early 1900s. That is what's so appalling, that is not far back enough in history for them.
The ruling will also directly affect California, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. Nearly 20 million lives were saved by COVID vaccines during their first year, but even more deaths could have been prevented if international targets for the shots had been reached. That's the finding from researchers at the Imperial College of London who led a new modeling study. They concluded that the 4.3 billion people around the world who got vaccinated over 12 months prevented deaths on an unimaginable scale. They say the shots prevented 1.9 million deaths in the U.S.
With the first pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Orlando Magic select Paolo Banchero from Duke University.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on ESPN as the Orlando Magic surprised the field by selecting Banchero over expected top pick Jabari Smith Jr. of Auburn. Smith ended up going third to the Houston Rockets. Seven-footer Chet Holmgren of Gonzaga went second to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Basketball is always fascinating at the NBA draft when you show the highlights of these guys. Oh, it's unbelievable.
And the suits, that's the best part.
Yes, the suits. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. President Biden wants a three-month pause on the federal taxes layered into gasoline and diesel purchase to help drivers pay for gas. It seems unlikely Congress will go along. Separately, lawmakers at the state level have implemented gas tax holidays. How have they worked out? Analysis from Andrew Keshner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, set the scene.
I think, you know, so as far when I last checked, Florida's is set to go in October. And New York's is underway right now. But then you have like a place like Virginia, where I last checked, the Republican governor wanted it. The Democrats in the in the state level legislature didn't want it. And I talked to one observer who said, it's maybe less a matter of ideology, more a matter of, you know, whatever the other guy is for, I'm against. But I mean, really kind of the broad criticism that you often hear again and again on these things is it's really just kind of gimmicky and a little bit of a Band-Aid, and any sort of savings incurred are very slim.
Yeah. We're speaking with Andrew Keshner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His piece is called Some States Have Already Enacted Gas Tax Holidays, But How Effective Have They Been? So let's do a little breakdown. You referenced Maryland before. What have they seen in terms of the gas tax holiday at the state level?
Right. Maryland's has a 31 31.1 cent per gallon tax. And from mid-March to mid-April, that was put on hold. Researchers at Penn Wharton Budget Model, they said that 72% of the savings were passed along to drivers, and that came to a reduction of 26 cents per gallon for Maryland drivers. And then for Georgia, that tax savings was about 58% to 65%, depending on certain models. But that came to, you know, anywhere between, you know, roughly 17 cents per gallon to roughly 19 cents per gallon, depending on the way you looked at it.
And what are we looking at, say, in Connecticut?
In Connecticut, according to the researchers, the tax savings passed along to the drivers was about 71 to 87% of the cut went to them. That turned into a range of roughly a range between 18 cents per gallon and 22 cents per gallon, again, depending on the way you looked at it. So again, kind of nipping at the margins for a savings for a little bit of time. You know, I mean, I guess it really depends on if you characterize that as a win or not. You know, when President Biden talked about his own proposal for 3 months of a suspension, he kept saying a little bit of breathing room, just a little bit. And I mean, these numbers show it would be a very little bit of breathing room.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, June 24. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Senate passes a gun control bill. Supreme Court overturns a concealed carry law in New York. Ukraine orders troops to withdraw from a foothold in the Donbas region, an important but symbolic victory for Russia. Freshman Paolo Banchero of Duke, selected number one in the NBA draft by Orlando. A report says LIV Series golfers will be allowed at the British Open, but not the Scottish Open the week before. The new movie Elvis opens this weekend, and the U.S. swimmer who needed rescuing in the pool. That story in about 20 minutes. More than a year after they broke with the vast majority of their party to support President Trump's impeachment, several Republican members of Congress are fighting uphill battles to keep their seats. Voters will soon decide the fates of 5 of the 10 GOP House members who cast votes in favor of Mr. Trump's second impeachment in 2021. Among them, Wyoming's Liz Cheney, who's on the committee investigating the attack on the Capitol.
It can be difficult to accept that President Trump abused your trust, that he deceived you. Many will invent excuses to ignore that fact. But that is a fact. I wish it weren't true, but it is.
There are profiles now from Sarah Westwood, politics reporter at the Washington Examiner. Sarah, give us a recap.
Well, there are 10 Republican members of the House who voted to impeach Trump the second time after the 2020 election, after the January 6th riots. 5 of those members said they would rather retire than face voters because you know, one, Donald Trump sort of vowed that he was going to take on those lawmakers in the immediate aftermath of that vote. And two, you know, they have polling. They have data that suggests they weren't likely to prevail if they were to run again for their seats. So that leaves five congressmen, members of Congress, who were fighting for their political lives to run again in the aftermath of that vote. Some of those names are pretty recognizable, like Liz Cheney, but, you know, others have managed to fly under the radar and are sort of relying on a focus on local issues to try to overcome the skepticism Republican voters have because of their impeachment vote.
All right, so you referenced Liz Cheney from Wyoming. Another one, Peter Meyer from Michigan. What's his story?
Yeah, Peter Meyer from Michigan is someone who is considered, you know, a promising recruit, a top recruit for Republicans. And he has, you know, unlike Liz Cheney, not made his opposition to Trump part of his political identity, right? He hasn't spent his time criticizing Trump, siding with Democrats, or continuing to focus on January 6th, but has really moved on to focus on Michigan-specific issues. And interestingly, in some of his advertisements, he's focused on Trump-like themes without actually mentioning Trump by name to sort of show solidarity with the Trump cause. So, like, for instance, his latest ad featuring him talking about securing the border in a voiceover, and there were images of the border wall being built featured in the ad. So clearly Meyer is someone who is trying to embrace the Trump agenda, keep the focus on local issues, and play sort of like you could call it the Glenn Youngkin strategy, like the Virginia governor who didn't talk about Trump, just focused on hyper-local issues, but showed a willingness to embrace the things that Trump stood for.
We're speaking with Sarah Westwood, politics reporter at the Washington Examiner. Her story is called Five Pro-Impeachment Republicans Face Uncertain Future. So we talked about Liz Cheney of Wyoming, Peter Meyer of Michigan, two from Washington State, this Dan Newhouse and Jamie Herrera Buettler. What about their situations?
Yeah, now these two incumbent Republicans could benefit from the fact that Washington has a top two primary, meaning that regardless of the party of the top two finishers in the primary, those are the only two people who will advance to what could essentially be seen as a runoff, but the general election in November, meaning if two Republicans were to get the most votes in that district, then the general election would feature no Democratic candidate on the ballot. They both also are going to benefit from really divided fields. You know, Dan Newhouse is running in a race in which he has seven different primary challenges, meaning the Republican vote is going to be split between eight people, and then the Democratic candidate is going to obviously attract, you know, the majority of the Democratic votes in that primary. So he has a really good chance, because of his name recognition and his incumbency, of advancing to at least one of the top two finishing spots, and the Democrat, because Democratic candidate will have consolidated the Democratic electorate in that district, will also be, you know, the most likely to advance. So both of those candidates are going to benefit from divided fields, just unorganized opposition from Republicans who want revenge for their impeachment votes, and the fact that their primaries are structured as a top two finisher runoff, which is not how every state conducts their primary.
Right. All right. So the fifth Republican on your list from California, David Valadao.
That's right. He's the only one of the five who has faced voters already in a primary. He did that this month, and he seems to have squeaked by, but just barely, in this top two primary. He had a strong Republican challenger in Chris Mathis, and that vote result was not called on election night. Actually, it's one that took days to suss out because the margin ended up being so thin. It looks like he pulled out his victory with about 1,500 votes in the end, something that could have, you know, maybe put him in recount territory. But it appears that David Valadao was going to advance against his to that top two primary runoff, and then does have a pretty good chance of holding on to that Republican district in what's shaping up to be, obviously, a pretty strong GOP wave year.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Westwood, politics reporter at the Washington Examiner. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, there's no shortage of reasons for dog lovers to admire your pet while you're out on a walk, but even so, one dog owner was taken aback by the attention their black lab was being given by strangers recently. The dog owner named Peggy posted about the incident on Facebook, or TikTok rather, saying that people kept looking at her dog named Millie on a recent walk and she couldn't figure out why. When she then got out her phone to film Millie, she realized that she'd been walking the whole time with a baby pacifier in her mouth. The video has been watched nearly a million times, and people had plenty of questions like, where did the dog get the pacifier in the first place? With no young kids in the house, Peggy assumed she found it on the ground. Meanwhile, the viral footage was a good reminder for pet owners to keep an eye out on what your dogs are getting into while they're out on walks.
Yeah, which is pretty much anything.
Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine the stuff that your dogs find in the backyard, you know, when out there. Yeah. Just about anything that gets left behind will eventually get found by the dogs.
Correct. Or put in their mouths or sniffed or whatever.
Yeah.
Living or dead for that. Or inanimate. Yeah. Always wind up in a dog's mouth. Especially labs.
Yes.
Especially labs. The occasional possum, groundhog.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Look what I brought for you. I mean, that's the tail wagging moment, at least our dog has.
Yes.
Look what I have done for you.
Yes. Now what am I going to get in return for bringing you this bounty?
Right. That's right. Field mouse, possum, whatever. You can't come in the house with that.
Yes. And once again, Gordon, hope for people whose phones take an unscheduled swim in the pool, ocean, or lake this summer. An iPhone lost in a British river during a bachelor party was returned to its owner after being found in the water 10 months later, and it still works. Miguel Pacheco said he found the phone in the water while canoeing with his family recently, and he took the device home to dry it out. Pacheco said he used an air compressor to dry out the iPhone and was surprised when it turned on once plugged into a charger. Pacheco posted photos of the phone and its lock screen, an image of a man and a woman in a local Facebook group. The post was shared thousands of times, and the man in the photo was eventually identified. The man said he'd been canoeing as part of a bachelor party on the river when he fell into the water. When he finally emerged, his phone was gone.
Could you imagine?
What's that?
That a guy taking part in a bachelor party while canoeing fell into the water.
Well, these are lessons for me because I have a bachelor party coming up myself near Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And this is a lesson for me to leave my phone back on shore if something like this happens.
I mean, as soon as the words bachelor party and canoeing showed up in the same sentence.
Somebody in the party is going to be missing a phone when it's all said and done.
Somebody's getting wet
or
somebody's losing something for sure. Thanks, Mike.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Glad you could be with us. Ready to travel this summer? Prepare for the worst. Whether you miss a connecting flight that carries your bag to the next destination, or you're stranded in an airport for a while without your checked luggage, you should get in the habit of keeping certain essentials readily available in your carry-on bag or personal item. USA Today listed 10 things you should always have on hand. Number one, a toothbrush, especially if you've been snacking on airport meals and plane food. Number two, an extra change of clothes, especially underwear. Number three, a portable charger, because your cell phone could get quite a workout if you're delayed or canceled. Number four, all your medication. 5, a reusable water bottle, which you can fill up once you pass security. Another item for your carry-on bag, portable cleansing products like dry shampoo to keep your hair grease-free. Also, cleansing wipes. Number 7, extra face masks. Number 8, a sleep mask in case you need to block the bright lights of an airport terminal. Also, a cozy blanket or pillow and headphones or earbuds. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate has passed the most significant firearms legislation in decades as 15 Republicans joined Democrats to provide new tools to deter mass shootings following deadly attacks around the nation. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The gun safety bill we are passing tonight can be described with 3 adjectives. Bipartisan, common sense, life-saving.
The legislation would help states put in place and enforce red flag laws, close the so-called boyfriend loophole related to dating partners, and expand background checks to include juvenile and mental health records for buyers under 21. The passage came on the same day that the Supreme Court overturned a New York law that required the people applying for a concealed carry permit demonstrate a specific need to have a gun in public.
Number two.
Senior officials in President Trump's Justice Department testified before the January 6th committee about his campaign to enlist them in an effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Acting Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue said he told Trump his voter fraud claims were not true.
As the president went through them, I went piece by piece to say, no, that's false. That is not true. And to correct him really in a serial fashion as he moved from one theory to another.
In video testimony, former White House aides said several Republican members of Congress, including Representatives Matt Gaetz, Louie Gohmert, Mo Brooks, Andy Biggs, and Scott Perry had asked for presidential pardons. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has suffered a double blow at the ballot box as his party lost two key parliamentary by-elections in Wakefield and Tiverton. The votes at opposite ends of England had been viewed as a litmus test of Johnson's standing after a string of scandals. The double defeats prompted the immediate resignation of Conservative Party Chairman Oliver Dowden. They're popping champagne in Texas this morning following news that one of the most highly sought-after football recruits of all time has selected the Texas Longhorns. Quarterback Arch Manning, the phenom quarterback out of New Orleans, who is the grandson of Saints icon Archie and the nephew of NFL legends Peyton and Eli Manning, announced his intention to enroll in 2023 at the University of Texas in a tweet yesterday. The Longhorns set to join the SEC by 2025.
That'll be fun to watch. Thank you, Jen. Quite the drama at the Swimming World Championships in Hungary. USA coach Andrea Fuentes knew something was wrong when she saw artistic swimmer Anita Alvarez sink motionless to the bottom of the pool during a routine. Artistic swimming is widely known as synchronized swimming. Fuentes dived in, swam to the unresponsive Alvarez about 10 feet down, put her arms around her, brought her to the water surface. Turns out Alvarez, a two-time Olympian, had fainted. In an Instagram update, the official USA Artistic Swimming account said Alvarez had been thoroughly checked by doctors and was recovering. Wednesday marked the second time that the 25-year-old Alvarez has fainted while swimming, and the second time Fuentes has saved her. In Barcelona last year, she fainted during an Olympics qualifier. It remains unclear what caused Alvarez to collapse, but, as you know, the sport often requires swimmers to hold their breaths for long periods while being very active underwater. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.